Because if you start out a relationship on the wrong foot, or you start out fake and now you have to lie and now you have to, you know, portray yourself as something that you're not going to get anywhere that way. An organization, big or small, you know, is attainable. You know, if it's a good idea, if it helps to, you know, cure a pain point or a problem that somebody's having, ideally, they're going to take it into account, and it very well might, you know, catapult you to a whole new level that you may have never dreamed of. And it all starts with just shooting your shot.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is your host, Tato Datsun, here at 23 Journeys, a network of creators. I am here with my partner, Naomi. How you doing, Naomi?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And we have a special guest today. He is the Wolf of Broad Street, networking specialist, Josh Buchter.
Thanks so much for having me, Tato. It's good to be here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's, you know, it's great to have you here. We've been working together for a while, man.
Long time.
I mean, like, first it started, for those who don't know, Josh actually used to be a publisher for a magazine, Real Producers Magazine.
Yep.
And now you shifted over to running network events. How's that transition from publishing magazine to being a network, you know, hosting events and all that kind of stuff?
It's interesting, and maybe a lot of people don't know it, but 5 years prior to getting into the magazine business, I was hosting events. So it's nothing new, honestly. After graduating from college, I've held various business development roles in the real estate industry, from credit repair to property management and title insurance. And being a business developer and marketer, it obviously involved a lot of attending of networking events and mixers and mingling with different real estate industry professionals. And in 2015, 2016, I decided to start hosting my own events. I was going to so many other people's events and identified some ways that I could do it maybe better, and jumped into it, started out at a small dive bar and, you know, had over 100 people there. And some of those people that attended that original event back in 2015, 2016, rarely have missed an event since. So the magazine business was great, the five-year run that we had, but now it's just time to double down into the Wolf of Broad Street real estate events and marketing and continuing to elevate our foothold here in the Philly real estate industry when it comes to events.
So that really emphasizes you have a lot of experience, you know, creating events. I mean, you've been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
So one of my questions is, how do you create an event with the atmosphere that people generally would actually have real connections versus, hey, here's my business card.
Right. We don't host events just to host events. We don't, you know, some people just want to check off the box and say that they networked this week and they went to an event and they handed out some business cards and then they left. And what did you really get out of it? We want it to be a true, truly memorable experience where you're not running around trying to collect every single person's business card in that room or pitch every single person in there. You want to walk in there with an objective to meet 2 to 3 people that you can then follow up with to continue the conversation, whether it's over coffee or lunch. And really, we aim to limit the number of objections for people coming to the events. We try to make it various locations in different parts of the greater Philadelphia region, try to keep the ticket price low and have parking and have different amenities that the people would enjoy, like, you know, live music or DJs and multiple media companies and prizes and, you know, different aspects like that. So it's really not your typical business card exchange, not your typical network after work type of thing. One thing I noticed about those types of events, it is very broad in the industries represented there, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I noticed that by narrowing down our focus to the real estate industry, it tends to be more impactful for the people that eat, live, breathe real estate.
Right. So, well, we just talked about your events. You painted a beautiful picture. Why don't we take a quick minute? Mm-hmm. Let's watch a little quick clip of one of your events, and, you know, get the audience a chance to see.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Wow, that was awesome. So that was the Royal Rendezvous event. I was actually there
yes.
for that one.
Yes.
You know, we had our photo booth set up.
Yep.
it was packed in that one.
It was
one.
Packed, yeah. Definitely going to need a bigger space, you know. but shout out to Frame PHL at 222 Market Street. It was an incredible venue, and the management there is amazing. We took over both floors, had over 200 industry professionals there. And like you saw in the video, it's not your typical networking event. We always like to have fun and interesting themes. The Royal Rendezvous theme is really just leaning into the royalty type of image and crowns and dress to impress and giving people a reason to, you know, dress up, look their best. Because when you look your best and you're going to feel your best, you're going to network the best. And, you know, that's where the magic happens, is at these type of events.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, dress to impress. I mean, yeah. Naomi's always said that she wants to just buy a ball gown and just show up at a, at a ball gown gala.
It was cool, too, because, like, even though I wasn't even at this event, I'm friends with a lot of people like Opus Elite and stuff like that that were at your event. So I was seeing their pictures in real time on Facebook and stuff before I even got to talk to Tato about how the event went and stuff, which is a good testament to, like, a good event, because people are already getting the word out before it's even done.
Yes, that's a great point, because more people are going to hear and see about the event than can actually attend the event. That's why the marketing aspects and the social media aspects and the creative aspects of the events is super important. You know what I mean? And we couldn't do it without our media partners like Tattoo Dots and Images and Bryant Sanders Photography and DK Media and Just Blessed Media and all the partners that we work with to extend the reach of the event. 200 people were there, but maybe 20,000 people saw about the event in all the different forms of media that came through it. It's really our goal with the events is to make it a content creating machine, just like the magazine business was. You know, you have deadlines, you have multiple features, you have sponsors for the events, you have hundreds of guests and whatnot. So it's really important that we let the world know about it and don't keep it a secret.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, when you were, like, with publishing, like, what do you feel with, like, with your publishing background? Do you feel like that really influenced or improved your networking events? Or?
I think so, because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of people involved in both publishing and networking events. There's a lot of responsibility involved, too, and there's a lot of risk and expenses involved as well. So you have to be very careful and very diligent in overthinking what it's going to take to be successful in either endeavor. You know, you could take it month by month on a monthly magazine or event by event. I don't try to you know, overextend my brain capacity, but you take it one by one, you know, and you think it through, and you know, it's a lot of work involved and a lot of responsibility to fulfill for the people involved with it. And we've done a pretty good job at getting great feedback on both endeavors and just continuing to aim just to not take any steps backwards. As long as we're, you know, inching forward or not stepping backwards, it's a good day. You know?
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So Wolf of Broad Street, I know you guys are super, super busy, heavy on the emails. I mean, I see the email blasts all the time.
Yep.
I see the social media posts and such. Like, what's your approach, like, really using digital platforms to network and really get your message out?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best form of marketing. It doesn't cost anything to get busy on social media or send email blasts. I mean, there's some cost involved with it. But the last thing I want to hear is I didn't hear about the event or I didn't even know about that, you know, because you can't say it. We're, you know, day in and day out, letting people know what we're up to. We're not keeping it a secret. We want everybody to come out and enjoy themselves. And I don't think there's a better way to do that through digital than through digital marketing. The process and the behind the scenes involved with hosting and organizing and executing events is pretty interesting. We're already doing the work anyway, so why not document it? You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be dropping the same flyer every single day, but highlighting different aspects of the event, from the different amenities that the people can expect to the sponsors, or if there's speakers or keynotes and things like that. We want to leverage the event to bring awareness and shine light on everybody involved with the events, because that's only going to naturally extend the reach of what we got going on.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you tend to see, like, by putting out that and everything, do you see more people come that have never met you and everything and all? Or do you feel like a lot of people that come are people that have met other people that have come to your networking events, and then they start following you, and then they see an event coming, and then they come and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a mixture of both. You know, we always have fresh faces at our events, which is always refreshing. It's great to see our loyal guests come out, you know, event after event, but it's always interesting to meet new people through our marketing efforts and through word of mouth of guests that have already attended our events. It's a good sign that we're doing something right for sure. And data is huge when hosting events. You know, the registrations continue to build our database to now over 15,000 real estate industry professionals locally. And that's all been organically through
15,000 locally?
Over 15,000 locally.
Sheesh, how many real estate?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the stat now, but a couple of years ago, before the economy got a little funny, there was 18,000 licensed real estate salespeople alone in Philadelphia County. So wow. It's a little bit less now, but I think here in Bucks County, there's 6,000, you know,
at
agents,
least.
You know, so
yeah, wow,
yeah. We found our lane in the real estate industry, and we just continue to dig deep with it. It's enough to keep us busy.
Yeah.
You know, we're not opposed to doing events in other industries or other states and regions and things like that. But the Philly real estate industry is thriving. I think we have built a pretty solid name as the networking lane for real estate industry professionals, and I think we're just getting warmed up.
I think, well, I mean, you said one thing that I like to talk about is niches mean
yes.
creates riches. And
I like that.
You have your niche, you know, here in the Philadelphia area, mm-hmm. you know, whether it includes like, you know, we're Bucks County, but like, you know, there's Montco, Delco, mm-hmm. yep. everything. So we're all surrounding areas, and you focus on just these type of events. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you do that, people know you as that, and they're always
yes.
going to be like, oh, cool. He's got these great real estate events. I'll go to this
yep.
or whatnot.
Absolutely. And aside from hosting our own events, recently we've dove into helping other people with their events from the planning, promoting, and executing of their events, you know, which is interesting from, you know, different grand openings of offices and broker opens for, you know, $1 million listings and client appreciation parties and home buying seminars and things like that. People are welcome to reach out to us if there's any way that we can help them to improve on their events, as long as it makes sense. We're not going to take on a gig that we're not 100% confident that we can fulfill on, you know, what we say we're going to do.
And that ties in because you guys are the Wolf of Broad Street Real Estate Events and Marketing Consultant, or is that my thing? Is it consulting, right?
Yep.
And everything. So that, but that's what you guys consult on, like helping people create their own events
yep.
and everything else like that. I was wondering, I was like, what is he consulting?
Yeah, I mean, everything from the conceptualization of the event. It starts with an initial consultation, understand what the client wants and needs on their event, and to, you know, brainstorm ways to really make it pop for the client. Building custom sponsorship decks for our private clients to onboard sponsors to help cover the expenses involved with their events. And really just everything from A to Z, from prospecting venues and walkthroughs and working with, you know, banquet managers and coordinating print orders and all the different vendors involved. You know, it's a lot that we're able to take off the plate of our private clients so that they can show up to the event and look like an absolute rock star. And we'll just white label it. It's their event, but Wolf of Broad Street Real Estate Events and Consulting is kind of behind the curtain, making things happen.
Okay. All right. And it's like, you mentioned all the different type of vendors, you know, mm-hmm. you had obviously the venue, you mentioned a bunch of the media people and stuff like creatives. What do you see the role of creatives for your events, and how do they help bring stuff around? I mean, we understand like obviously video and photo, but like there's more than just that. There's a lot of different creatives that can help out an event.
Definitely. I mean, every event has its own kind of brand feel and theme to it, you know, from the graphic design work that goes into the marketing materials and the event invitations to the musical acts and DJs that bring the vibe to the professional photography and videographers that are there to not only help our cause with covering the event and spreading awareness about Wolf of Broad Street, but making every guest build on their brand. For example, our next big event is our third annual Revamp Your Image 2025, where that truly will be a content creating machine. It's not your typical headshot event. You know, it's more lifestyle photography, photo booths, 360s, reels, and it's just every single person is going to walk out of there with a couple of pieces of content that they could use to elevate their marketing game, which I think is extremely valuable to pay $30 for a ticket to have, you know, great food and drink tickets and chances to win prizes and everything that and like that. On top of the networking, you're walking away with, you know, images and media that you could use for your own purposes.
And that's I think you did that last year.
Yep.
It was
The Philly Photo Spot.
The Philly Photo Spot. Yep. Are you doing it again at the Philly Photo Spot?
No, we're doing it at Craft Hall Philly. It's next to Rivers Casino in Fishtown.
In Fishtown. Yep. Okay. And that was a lot of fun because you had the different sections. My buddy Bryant, he's taking pictures. You had a couple of different photographers and you had a 360 booth and stuff. People can definitely gain a lot if they were to come out to an event like that.
Yep.
And it's like, it's really thinking outside the box. Like hosting events or having events has to bring value to people.
Right.
And something like that brings value to everybody from, one, the creatives, like myself, like a photographer, if he's working that event or she's working that event, they can take the pictures of the people, pass their business card, and be like, hey, you guys ever want to do a more full, in-depth shoot and everything? And that's an important aspect for creatives because how can we get ourselves out there? How can we get ourselves in front of people? You know, what are the aspects you feel that creatives can use to really get in front of clients at network events, like, you know, maybe yours or another person's and such?
Bring ideas to event planners like myself. Brian Sanders Photography brought us to the Philly Photo Spot and introduced us to the venue. It was like, you know, his idea to do it there. So, you know, that's a huge part of it. You're a creative for a reason. So why not, you know, utilize those ideas and thoughts and goals, you know, not only during the event, but before and after it to continue to, you know, help each other grow.
Yeah.
So I'm a very creative person myself. I think that's why I like, you know, the events business. It's always something new. We have to keep it fresh and funky in order to stay relevant, you know? So it's something that I enjoy. It's definitely a challenge, but, you know, we're up for the challenge and, you know, always evolving. So always evolving.
I think that was a good point, too, in the sense of you have so many different events. And with creatives, I think a lot of creatives, especially ones that are just starting out, they might be like, oh, well, they already work with a photographer. Oh, they already work with an event planner of some sort. But there's multiple people that go into it. Like you've had like the other year, a couple years ago, you did like the Derby Awards and stuff where there were multiple different photo booth options for everybody to go to and stuff. So it's a collaborative effort and everything.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we love to spread the love around and get as many media companies as possible. It's a big part of what helps us with our bread and butter, which is sponsorships, you know. So a big part of me prospecting for sponsors is ensuring then that there's going to be massive media coverage of the event. So when it comes down to the business of it, really the more the merrier, as long as they're professional, add value to what we got going on and help us to take it to the next level. You know, we've been known to give different creatives a shot too. You know, during COVID with the magazine, when the real estate business was shut down and you couldn't go to in-person events or you couldn't do different open houses and things like that, we were taking photos of agents on stoops of their listings and keeping 6 feet distance and, you know, filling in content. We did a pretty cool, like it was kind of eerie, but we opened it up to all amateur photographers to submit photos of Philadelphia during the pandemic, you know, empty streets and, you know, wide open parkways and everything like that. It came out really nice. And, you know, we've built some long lasting relationships through that campaign with some of those amateur photographers that we're still tight with and do business with today. You know, so we're always trying to, you know, incorporate different talents into our operation.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah. I know. And being in the events business and getting through that and you know, still standing is a testament to, you know, our network and following.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, even me, how I got through the whole COVID was I shifted gears. I wasn't doing as much event photography or weddings and such. I focused strictly on my real estate, my architectural work.
Yes.
And that's what got me. That's what got me through.
Exactly. You got to maneuver and pivot to, you know, stay on top.
you know, and it's easy to stumble and like fall on yourself when trying to navigate something like that. Cause I mean, we don't know how to get through something like that. So navigation, you know, on social media, what do you see as a mistake that a lot of people do on social media when it comes towards like networking or building relationships?
The biggest mistake is not doing anything, in my opinion. You know, some of those private clients that come to us to help with their promotion of their event. Recently, I got a call. It was 4 days before their event. Then the headcount was low. And, you know, I'm in the real estate industry. I didn't hear anything about the event. You know, I follow them on social media, but I had no idea what was going on. Luckily, we were able to, you know, jump into action and spin it and, you know, had a good 60 people out to an investor seminar, which turned out very well. But I think just not doing anything or doing the bare minimum on social media. And I don't know if you're just trying to, you know, prey on it that it's just going to happen, or hope that it just comes together somehow. It's not going to happen. You know, you have to let the folks know about it, and you have to get busy on social media. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, extravagant. But if you're saying RSVP by texting me or emailing me, or you're giving people homework to do in order to register for the event, that's a red flag right there. You definitely want to have a registration page and a nice flyer, and, you know, make it easy for people to get it on their calendar. You know what I mean? And spend some money to have a marketing campaign build out to not have to share the same flyer in and out, you know, every week, and have a social media calendar to help, you know, facilitate a strong campaign for your event. But that's the biggest event. I mean, that's the biggest mistake that I would see, is just doing the bare minimum on social media. You know, it doesn't take anything to turn the camera around and, you know, do a quick promo video. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but go get a gimbal, do a selfie video, stand outside of the venue, tell the people what's going on, chop it up in CapCut. You know, just work always works. So you're going to have to, you know, put in some time and effort and get out of your comfort zone if you want to be successful with hosting an event, because it's not just going to happen by, you know, putting it out there one time.
Right, right. And what would you say would be, just being playing devil's advocate, you said the bare minimum. What about, where is it too much on social media, where it's like, okay, dude, I get it. Like,
I've been accused of doing the most myself. You know what I mean? So I think it's hard to do too much, and you don't want to be annoying or too repetitive about things, but you definitely have to be consistent. You know, because it's just so much work involved with pulling off a good event. For the event to only last 3 hours, it's done in a flash. So you really got to line it up the right way to get the people there, get the people happy, have them talking about it afterwards, creating that buzz, and that's just going to continue a positive wave into your next event or your next campaign. The beautiful thing about events, whether they're, you know, low budget, small events to big galas, is that you always want to have something to talk about. You know, it's never same old, nothing new. It's, no, I got this event coming up, or I'm a collaborator on this event, and let me invite you to this event. Everything is an event. Even an open house is an event. A lot of our network is realtors, and, you know, it's an open house, but it's an event, and you can gain registrations, and you can gain data from this. And whether or not they show up to the event, at least you know they're interested in what you got going on, and hopefully they can make it to the next one. You know? So use it as a tool. Events are the best marketing and business development tool that I've ever come across. Being a business development guy, that's why I chose the event space, and, you know, it works well.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah. And so when people go out and they're actually at these events and stuff, what kind of strategies do you see for people to be able to convert, like, conversations into actual, like, prospects, maybe relationships, in whether doing business together, or for somebody that will be like, hey, I know I can refer so-and-so for something?
Yeah, I mean, we have a strong team at Wolf of Broad Street, and different event ambassadors who are on deck at the events and open to helping make the connections. So if you're hesitant about coming out to a networking event, you're an introvert, and you don't, you know, feel comfortable, like, working a room, come to myself, come to Beth, come to our check-in staff, and, you know, the veterans that have been around for a long time. Let us know who your ideal, you know, contact is today, and we'll do our best to make the connection. If they're not even in the building, we'll likely know, you know, a second or third level of the person you need to start with, and they could lead you to that person. So it's almost like a game. Everything we're talking about, it's like a video game to me. I don't play video games much.
I do. But,
yeah, you do. Well, you'll know that some video games take weeks, months to complete the whole thing, but there's many little missions that are accomplished throughout the game. And those mini accomplishments and those mini goals ultimately get you to, you know, the head boss. The final boss.
The final boss. Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. It's just the micro goals is huge. You know, any business development person out there or creative that's trying to achieve big goals, there's multiple micro goals that it takes to get there. And it's, you know, goals are achieved through the people that you meet and the people that you're able to help. So me, when I was fresh out of college and didn't know anybody in Philadelphia, and I was working networking events to get credit repair business, like, they're looking at me like a little twerp in a branded polo with some business cards who, you know, is green and doesn't know, you know, anything about the Philly real estate industry. No money, no resources, no connections, no nothing. I found that listening more than I talk gets you a long way. Asking those people what, you know, how I can help them. And it's not going to cost me anything to keep them on my radar for what they're looking for, or go through my phone and see who I can introduce them to, because those connections and that 5 minutes it takes to do a text intro to somebody and see where it leads, for me, following through and doing what I'm saying I'm going to do to people at events, it pays itself off, like, incredibly. The value of connecting folks can really help to take their business to the next level, but also they're going to look at you as kind of an authority for networking and making connections and following through on what you say you're going to do. So I think that's huge, and it doesn't cost anything. A lot of things we're talking about today, anybody can do. It just takes a little energy and effort.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing, too, because it's like, if you think about it, it's always about solving pain points for people, mm-hmm. and everything, because it's like they're going to remember who was there and able to solve an issue that they had and stuff. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Like, it could be photography and stuff, too. Like, if they have an event coming up and they need a photographer, they need this. Yes. Like, well, here's a service that helps you with that and everything and stuff like that. And also, it's all about, and even if it's not in your industry and you're like, you know, they have a problem and you're like, I have a great resource over here, let me connect you, because then they'll remember back, oh, he helped me with this and he does this over here, so now I need that service.
Exactly. Comes back to data too. Just save every single phone number that you come across, that you get. I have over 6,000 contacts in my phone from over the years, because you'll never know when you're going to need to call on that person or have a opportunity to introduce that person to somebody. And when that person calls you 5 years down the line and, you know, you pick up the phone like you just talked to them yesterday, it leaves an impact, you know what I mean? Because I value our relationships with people, and good people, you know what I mean? Like, there's a ton of people out there that you may not want to associate with and you may not want to save in your phone, but the ones that you do, that's your circle, you know what I mean? And you want to help them as much as continue to build on and add to your database of good people.
Very cool. Very cool. The and then we just talked about doing the conversions in real time, like real life and everything. Like, what about on the online aspect as such? Like, what do you see are ways that people can convert those connections from, like, they met somebody online, mm-hmm. but they want to now build a real relationship for, like you said, networking and such?
Yeah. I mean, just continuing to stay top of mind with the people that you want to keep relationships with, build on relationships with, earn their business just by supporting their profiles and their marketing campaigns on social media goes a long way. Dropping a comment or giving a like, or, you know, making a quick introduction in the DM or anything like that could really help to, you know, build on that relationship online. You know, the thing about events is great. It's like not going to get taken over by AI. Like, you know, it's something that we have some job stability about, which is good. I don't think you can really beat the belly to belly type of networking event that Wolf of Broad Street is able to offer. But the social media and the digital aspect of it is just day in, day out, continuing to nurture those relationships in small but meaningful ways, you know? And given, you know, reviews and shout outs and checking into people's businesses and things like that, that's major as well. And yeah, I mean, it's a job, you know, like, but you have to just stay consistent with it and have fun with it, you know, because I don't go on social media to look at memes all day. I'm on social media too. I mean, I look at a lot of memes too, but like, but at the end of the day, it's business too, you know, because networking digitally is, you know, super important, you know.
Yeah, I think half of my time on the internet is memes and then business.
yeah, it's fair.
Oh, so you mentioned something that actually kind of made me think. So obviously we're in this new age of AI and they're advancing virtual reality and everything like that. Where do you see the industry going with I still think we're always going to still have in-person real events because people are going to still want to be able to talk to somebody face-to-face, have some great food, you know, all that, hear the music and everything. But I've seen Meta and other companies try to develop these worlds where people can connect with VR or whatever and connect that way and such. How do you see that going and such?
I think it fell off a little bit. You know, the Oculus goggles at one point was the new wave. I haven't seen like so much about it because at one point I was convinced that by today's date in 2025 that everybody would have a pair of Oculus goggles and everybody would have an avatar and a persona in the, you know, metaverse, and that there would be, you know, huge conferences and events and things like that, you know, but I just didn't see it really follow through, and I don't know if Zuckerberg, you know, made out well on that investment, you know. But that's just the, you know, the virtual world. I think the real world is the best, you know. I don't want to be an avatar, and I don't want to live in the metaverse and everything like that. I want to leverage AI and use those tools, and work more efficiently and effectively. And you know, AI is not going to take anybody's job. It's just going to take the person who masters AI, they'll take your job. You know what I mean? You have to have a good grip on technology. You don't want to get, you know, lost in the sauce or left in the past. You know, you want to stay ahead of the curve and, you know, stay dangerous when it comes to using these tools. But yeah, as far as the metaverse and things like that, I'm interested to see where it goes. But you know, we'll see.
It'll be interesting because, I mean, you can make your own avatar. So, you know, I'd make myself look like 7 foot tall, super jacked. Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm only like 4'11". This stuff. And I think the, obviously, like when you're out there and you're networking and stuff, you know, people dress up nice and you'll put a face on and you'll put like, hey, here's who I am.
Yep.
I think the danger of the virtual is just like, it's more than just like dressing nice. It's literally people can change who they are. Yes. And when you're like, oh, I know so-and-so. And then it's like, no, that person's actually not the same person and such. Yep. Authenticity of who you are is super important with networking and relationship building.
Yep.
And that's where I see where I think maybe that's why the virtual reality hasn't taken off is because a lot of people just saw a lot of fakeness and everything. Being authentic at events, you know, what's your opinion on, like, for people, how can they bring more authenticness to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's played out to say be yourself, but it is a matter of really truly be your authentic self when you're at the networking events. I mean, obviously, dress the part, smell good, have a mint, make sure you're like you're good that way, but but let people into, you know, where you're coming from, where you're going, where you're at now, and don't try to sugarcoat it or fake the funk or fake it till you make it type of things like that. You know, I don't think that's a worthwhile effort. I think it's best to, you know, like I said before, listen more than you talk. Give people insights onto how you can help them, and just naturally take it as it goes. Don't try to, you know, close the deal or sign a contract on the spot. You know, it's play the long game. You know what I mean? Because if you start out a relationship on the wrong foot, or you start out fake and now you have to lie and now you have to, you know, portray yourself as something that you're not going to get anywhere that way. You know what I mean? It's like every relationship starts on a timeline at zero if you're lucky. You don't want to have a bad impression and start at negative 15 and now have to make it up to get back to zero. You know, if you have a good impression, now you're at plus 50 and now you can build on that, but you're not going to get anywhere by being fake or, you know, something that you're not, even if you don't intentionally mean to do it. You know, you might just be trying to make that good impression, but sometimes you could be playing yourself by not being authentic to who you are.
I feel like, too, if you have it, if you go in being yourself and everything, not saying like, oh, I've got all my stuff together and everything, you'll find good mentors that way, too, because people will step up and everything. And if they don't step up, then it might not be the person you want to create like a relationship with either.
Exactly. Yeah, just be a sponge and just soak up as much, you know, advice and information as you can. Take advantage of introductions to people that can help you and try your best to reciprocate that in the same ways, you know.
This is really valuable stuff. We did mention, so we did talk earlier about how you said with creatives should, you know, come up with ideas and everything. So I think for smaller events and everything, that works pretty well. What about when a creative is working with a larger event or a larger company and such? Like, what are ways that a creative could navigate those events, whether they're working it or if they're attending it?
Yeah, I think events, big or small, organizations, big or small, can benefit from new ideas from creatives. You know, this week we had the Mortgage Banker Association and Fannie Mae, two of the largest organizations, companies in the United States, at our event. It was the Philadelphia Real Estate Symposium 2025. Fannie Mae is a $90 billion company, and they're coming up from D.C. to come to a Wolf of Broad Street event. I started out in a dive bar, you know, in 2015, and now, you know, we're hosting billion-dollar companies. The commissioner of the Pennsylvania Real Estate Commission in charge or overseeing over 50,000 agents in Pennsylvania was at the event. I have a Zoom scheduled with the Pennsylvania Real Estate Commission in April to talk to them about events. I'm just a guy from Philly hosting little real estate industry networking events, and now I'm about to speak in front of the, you know, the Pennsylvania Real Estate Commission about ways to help them orchestrate events like we're doing, like the symposium. So it's a culmination of experiences and talents that go into it, and leveraging your past and your specific skill set as a creative to put something in front of a big an organization, big or small, you know, is attainable. You know, if it's a good idea, if it helps to, you know, cure a pain point or a problem that somebody's having, ideally, they're going to take it into account, and it very well might, you know, catapult you to a whole new level that you may have never dreamed of. And it all starts with just shooting your shot. You know, if shoot your shot was a person, it would be me. I mean, I get turned down, I get ghosted, I get, you know, a lot, but you know, you continue to shoot your shot, take chances, go for opportunities, and you'll be amazed at what happens. Don't be afraid of going after a big fish, you know what I mean? Because they're just people, you know, just skin, blood, brain people. Just gotta talk to them. You gotta, you know, paint the picture. You gotta, you know, show them what you can contribute and why they should listen to you, and, you know, see where it goes. And don't be afraid to fail. Yeah.
Now, how do you choose the right creatives to collaborate with? Do you go more off of who you can connect with, like, personality-wise? Is it more off of their skill set or, like, what they've been known for in the past? Or what makes your choices and stuff for your company? Because everybody's different and all what they're looking for.
It happens organically. Like, a funny story, when I launched Philadelphia Real Producers in May of 2019, we had a launch party at Chima Steakhouse, and I had a photographer already booked for the event, and Brian Sanders photography showed up to the event uninvited with a camera and said, I'm here to shoot photos for you. And he wasn't asking for anything. I said, oh, sure, come on in. And, you know, he's been around since, you know. So, like, that's one example of just shooting your shot, see what happens. You know, we've done a lot of business over the years, and I think, you know, working off of introductions and vetting people through, you know, like, truth is in the proof, you know what I mean? So, like, let me see something, or let me hear a testimonial from the person that's introducing you. I don't really need to go Google anything for creatives. You know, they all kind of just gravitate towards events and what we got going on, and you know, we're always open to having conversations like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, organic and keeping the opportunity open and keeping your radar open for ways to collaborate with the best creatives will go a long way.
Yep. I think you actually hit a great point, is that I built my business with networking and building relationships. And the heart of it comes from that. The more people know you, because you're selling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many, Philadelphia especially, there's probably a million photographers, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, and a million videographers. Mm-hmm. But what stands you out from them, aside from your skill, it's who you are. You know, yep. are you a person that can be worked with? Are you approachable? Are you somebody that isn't so combative? Are you a person who is flexible, or, you know, smart, you know, all those kind of things.
And, like, the end product, the final image, could be great, it could be good, it could be great, but if the experience of that person that was, you know, being photographed, or, you know, the video process was a negative experience, that you don't want to work with those types of creatives either, you know what I mean? So it's about how you make your the clients feel, and the, you know, the guests feel. I think that's very important. So if you have the ability, like you do, to make people comfortable, you know, in front of the camera, that's a very valuable part of being a creative too. You know what I mean? It's not all about the product. It's about the, you know, the process and the you know, experience and the feelings that the people have about it.
Yeah, very you know? True. Yeah. And that's what separates the average creative to the exceptional.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yep.
Very cool, man. Well, we did talk about the future of networking with AI and VR mm-hmm. and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I guess my only other question is, what's next for Wolf of Broad Street? You mentioned, you know, you have the event coming up with the Philadelphia Commissions mm-hmm. and everything.
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like us to let our viewers know about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, since, you know, putting the magazines down and doubling down into Wolf of Broad Street, we have launched a new marketing program called the Wolf of Broad Street Wolf Pack, where our goal is to represent 100 companies in various industry categories, limited number of spots in each category for their digital marketing needs, full access to our events, strategic introductions, you know, different types of advertising, including the Wolf of Broad Street LED billboard truck. We have, like, a lot of different angles to our marketing program. We currently have 10 clients onboarded as Wolfpack members, and that's all happened over the last 6 or 7 months. So we're fine-tuning this new program, and we're excited to continue to develop it and bring it to more of the right industry professionals to represent their efforts, help back up their own events, help back up their marketing campaigns and those introductions. And we're just walking, talking billboards for our clients, and we look to continue to build on that. So happy to, you know, talk to anybody about ways to improve your marketing game, get you more involved with events, ours and yours, and, you know, represent for the Wolf of Broad Street Wolfpack.
Awesome.
Check out the wolfpackdirectory.com.
Wolfpack Directory. Okay. And is there any other website or social media handles that people could follow?
So aside from wolfpackdirectory.com, check out wolfofbroadstreet215.com. We're on Instagram at wolfofbroadstreet with an underscore in between each word, and Josh Buchter on Facebook. And you can find a lot of information about everything we talked about on wolfofbroadstreet215.com. Including all of our upcoming events.
And Josh Buchter, not Butcher.
Yeah, don't butcher.
I remember when I first started, I was like, is that Butcher?
Yeah. I get it all the time. Yeah.
Oh, man. Naomi, did you have anything else before we...
No other questions, but I did want to say I like that you have the Wolf Pack. I love wolves and everything, yeah, so you're the Wolf on Broad Street, and I like the Wolf Pack.
Thank you.
That's a good play.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yep.
Wolfpack's in the building, yeah. Everyone. Well, thank you, Josh, for joining us today.
Thank you, Tato.
It's been a pleasure. Likewise. And you guys have all been joining us today on 23 Journeys, a network for creatives. I am your host, Tato Datsun, with Naomi Joy and our guest, Josh. Have a great day, everyone.